Hello, beloved. Glad to be here with you this Sunday morning. Thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to meet with you. It's just good to be here. It's good to be here. In the interest of just notes or just sharing, we always are aware of so much that's going on in the world today. The news is bombarded with so much stuff going on as far as government issues, social issues, political issues, community issues, and I mean, in other words, we're looking at things that's happening all around us, from personal to our relationships, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, our community. You see where I'm going out, all around us, how it, and this is happening. World, everybody around it is being bombarded with stuff coming from the news. Let us pray for peace. Let us pray for this. Let us pray for this country, that country. And that sounds good. A lot of this stuff sounds good. But a lot of us are forgetting what the Bible is telling us, what it is teaching us, what it is preparing us for. Now, sisters and brothers, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just sharing some things with you before we get into our message. If the Lord tells you C is going to follow B, C is going to follow B. Now, we may not like it. We may not want it to happen. We may try to rationalize it and do all kinds of things to it. But if God says C is going to follow B, C is going to follow B. Now you're saying, well, Brother Cotton, what is your point? There are things that are going to happen that are things that are happening right before our eyes that we see written in the Holy Bible. Now, for me to sit here and give you verse after verse, prophecy after prophecy, all the scriptures that are being fulfilled and have already been fulfilled before us, to try to convince you and to make you believe, I'm not going to do that. The Lord Himself has alluded to the fact that no, He has done enough. He has prepared us enough for us to believe what is right before us. That should convince us. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, beloved. Do not ignore. Do not ignore the messages, the sermons, the teachings, the expository messages, everything that is coming from the Word of God that is true, that and you know it's true because you can confirm it in this Word, in this Bible. Don't ignore it and think that because you want something else to happen, to take place, your wants are going to go over what the Bible says. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, what I want, what you want, what we may desire is not going to supersede God's word. When the Lord tells us to prepare for His coming, prepare for His coming. That means He is coming. Doesn't matter what's going on all around about us, what you see happening, what the world is saying is happening. Remember, the Lord says he is coming. Prepare for him. How many of us have relatives, friends that we maybe had not seen in many, many days, years, or whatever, and they tell you, I'm coming. And they may call you up and tell you, I'm on my way, or whatever, and you prepare for them. They can't tell you the day. They cannot tell you the hour when they go get it, but they tell you that they're coming. Well, you try to be ready for them when they come. Jesus done the same thing. He says he's coming, and he already told us he's coming, just like a thief in the night comes. The thief doesn't tell you when he's coming. He just comes at a time when you don't expect him. Where a time where he may be able to feel as though he can sneak in, unobserved. Jesus says he's coming like that. He's not a thief. He's not coming to steal, but he's coming that way. Now you say, I don't understand it. This is one good thing about the Lord. He has done enough to prove who he is, to prove his love to us, to prove his power that he has. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. He said, believe in me. Just believe. You've gone to magic shows and you've seen God perform magic and you've saw stuff happen before your eyes. You don't understand it, but you said, hey, this happened. Jesus said, just believe. Some of them in the boat, in the ship, and the waves going crazy. And they wonder, oh Lord, we getting ready to perish. We in the sea, we in the boat, what should we do? You're down here asleep. Jesus shook his head. Listen, didn't I tell you we're going to the other side? Doesn't matter what's happening all around you. Doesn't matter if the boat is even look like it's gonna go under. I told you we're going to the other side. If you're that concerned, pull up, lay head next to me, and go to sleep like I'm going. And let's see what happens. You're with Jesus. What in the world is going to happen to me? He said, we're going to the other side. He didn't leave us and say, come meet me. He said, we're going. I don't know why the Lord had me say that. Somebody must needed to hear that this morning. That wasn't the plan, and don't apologize for it. It's what the Lord had to have done. I didn't plan it, but praise the Lord. Let us have a word of prayer, beloved. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to come together. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be able to just say a word. The word that you would have us to say, Father, I pray this day, Lord, that you allow me to be that instrument used in your hand, void of my pride and my ego and my vanity, Lord, but just to say that which you would have to be said, and praying always, Lord, always, that some soul be edified, sanctified, and that you'll be glorified. For this I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you will. Let's go right into the word. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're going to begin right after, excuse me. Right at the first verse, we're going to read a few verses for you. For those of you who are not able to read for yourselves for whatever reason, your Bibles are not with you, maybe you're driving or you just don't have your Bible available. Let us hear what thus says the word of the Lord. I'll be reading from the New International Version. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We thank the Lord for his word, as found in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the first through the 10 verses. We pray that the Lord has blessed the reading and hearing of his word, and that it will sanctify the truth deep down in our hearts. Now, listen. Some of you have parents, you have sisters, brothers, friends, neighbors, buddies, pals, whoever, okay, that you love to boast about. You know, even some of us have sports heroes. Excuse me, whether it be basketball or any other sport, you have some of us who are nerds. Maybe we have science heroes or people in engineering and whatever. The list could go on and on and on. Okay. But you'd like to boast about them because they're like heroes to you. Okay. Maybe to the world they have accomplished great things, and maybe not, but to you, that person or persons is your hero. You know, some of us when we were younger, maybe we were getting bullied by somebody, or one of our classmates was a little bit bigger than us and liked to beat on us. But whenever you saw your brother, your big brother, big sister, or somebody else in your family would come by, you got that boldness about you now. You're glad of them because they could take your slack. They could, you know, they could stand up for you. Even if they made you have to confront this bully, at least you know they were right there for you and they weren't going to let things get too out of hand. So we take pride in them. Okay, a lot of times we do that. Okay. And what they could do for us and their accomplishments. We're just glad. We're just glad. Okay. Now, there's something to be careful about. Now, sometimes you get some, again, I'm thinking about the mind of a kid. Because you knew that you had a big brother, or you knew you had that cousin or that good friend that would have your back, sometimes you started stuff with people. Or you acted in such a way that, hey, I ain't scared of you. And then, you know, knowing full well you may not be able to beat that person if y'all got in a fight, but you thinking about your friend, your brother, the one, you know, that's you're holding dear to you, the one that you're taking pride in. Okay, so that's who you're wondering about, that person that's going to have your back, and it causes you to do certain things, say certain things, even to certain people in certain situations that you probably should not. So we got to be careful about doing stuff like that you get so caught up in somebody else or what you think that person or persons can do, that you start spotting yourself doing things, saying things you shouldn't. All right. Now, but listen, stay with me on this here. Despite the fact that Paul was truly sold out for Jesus, and he had gone through a lot of different trials and tribulations in proof of his dedication, in proof of his being sold out for Christ. And a lot of us have followed stories about Paul, before he became such a strong pillar, for the church, how he was also a strong adversary to the church before that. But that's another story, another lesson for another time. Okay, but what Paul is making us aware of in this passage that we're using today, okay, in 2 Corinthians, he's making us aware that any boasting and stuff in other people can cause us, okay, this pride that we take in other people, it can cause us to be caught up in some things that, like I said, will make us do stuff, say stuff, go places we should not, depending on that person's having our back. And also, what we're going to see, he's letting us be aware of that even though your intentions might be honorable, again, only you and the Lord knows that we see what people do, and people see what we do, but only we know what is really motivating us. We ourselves and the Lord. Okay. We've talked about that already in the past. Okay. So we just want to let it be known that Paul is making us aware that any of us can become so caught up in the glitz and glamour of life that we start looking forward to, as the saying goes, reading our own press. In other words, we start listening to what people are saying about us, all these good things, how they are vaunting us up, how they're making us to be again, like heroes, like we're rock stars, as they say, making us feel as though we're, all that. And this is Paul letting us know that this could happen. Now, Paul, like we said, it's no question that Paul was sold up to the Lord. I mean, we wouldn't even know where to begin, from him having written so much of the New Testament, and for what we read about he went through, and it's no question about Paul's dedication to the cause of Christ. And just as it may not be any question when we look at some of the people that we see from day to day. It could be a relative. I'm not just talking about those we see on the television, those we hear about, those that we may be even watching through way of the internet. There's people around the world, all around the world, that are ministering the gospel. I'm not just talking about those who seem to be almost larger than life. Do you realize there's some people, there may be only one person, I don't know who it may be, that is looking at you and they think that you are larger than life. Do you know that? So no, this is not what we're saying. What we are saying is that when we ourselves start listening to the accolades that people are giving and saying about us, when we start looking forward to reading about what we have been doing, reading in the news, reading in the local tabloids or wherever about some of our accomplishments, when you start looking for these things, when you start waiting to hear these things, when you start expecting these type of things that you in any kind of praise on any level, be careful. Be careful. Okay? Be careful. All right? Because you're getting ready to cross that very thin line when it comes to boasting. Yeah. Oh yeah. Now, a lot of us will say, yes, well, I'm boasting in the Lord, like Paul says. And you might be. We're going to deal with that in a moment. And you might be. But it's still boasting. Oh, yeah. And I want you to know that in this passage of scripture that we're looking at, Paul is going to put out several points of concern for us when it comes to boasting. He's going to put out several points of concern. And he's right there in front of us. We can go deeper than that, but I don't intend to keep you all day. I don't intend to keep to hold you hostage. Okay. We're going to go as long as the Lord tells us. Of course, I don't believe in just watering down the word, so to speak, just in the interest of time. But that's neither here nor there. Looking in this 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Okay, today we're going to be talking around the subject, is boasting cool or what? Is boasting cool or what? Okay. Some people, especially some of the young people I've heard, I don't know if they still use it. I don't claim to be keeping up on all of the, sayings, what's going on. But a lot of the younger people use the word boosting instead of boasting. When you boost somebody up, when you're vaunting them up, when you're making them, like basically it's boasting. When you're making them to be, oh yeah, that's a hero. That's this person. I'm cool with that person. They do this and you're bragging on them. Okay, bragging, boasting, boosting. We can almost use them all interchangeably. Okay, so you can understand what I'm talking about. All right. And this is what we're talking about. Is this cool or not? Is it cool or not? Okay. Some concerns. All right. In this 12th chapter, okay, what we started reading in the very first verse, he goes on saying, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. What now you say, well, wait a minute, why would somebody do it? So if it does that in the beginning, why do it? Well, understand something. Okay. Now, think about this. You may be just ministering in the way the Lord has gifted you. Okay, that's all you're doing. I don't care if your gift is in singing, is in giving helps, and whatever your gift may be, and the Lord is having you minister in that gift. And you may be doing it sincerely, honestly, and that's fine. Okay? And although, now that it's all about Jesus. You know that. You know it's all about him. Okay? And you make it your point to give God the glory for what he is doing through your ministering. And whatever it is you're doing. Okay, maybe the Lord is blessing you. The Lord has blessed you with an awesome ministry as far as numbers and size goes and what you're doing. And you just, whenever somebody asks you and or interviews you or whatever, you just say, give God the glory. You're giving it to him, and that's fine. That's wonderful. That's what we should be doing. But guess what? You're still boasting. Yes, you might be saying, yes, the Lord has blessed us to feed X amount of people. We fed 1,000 people this week. We fed 500 people this week. We did this. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord has blessed us. It's just, us around here, as you look around, those around here, we were serving folks as they came through. We served them and we gave them this platter. We gave them this lunch and we did this. We did this and we did. Praise God. And for a lot of folks, they said, oh, they're giving God the praise. But remember, you're still boasting. And I'm not saying, I mean, remember, I didn't say yet boasting is good or bad. I asked, we're raising the question, is boasting cool or what? Okay, you say, well, hey, you're boasting in the Lord. You're giving God the glory. You're giving the praise. Praise the Lord. Okay. So that's what Paul is saying. When he said, I must go on boasting, although it's nothing to gain, it's not about me. It's not going to cause me to be able to run for governor. It's not going to do any of that. I'm just boasting in what the Lord is doing. Okay. And y'all saying, praise the Lord. All right, let's go on. He goes on a little bit further. Oh, before I move on, I'll bring up one more point. Remember, after he makes that statement, although there's nothing to be gained, notice he also says, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. Now, why did I put that in there? Why did I just have to add that? Because, okay, he's been boasting about these things the Lord has allowed him to do. But now I'm going to continue to boast about the visions and revelations that he's given me. It's like, wait a minute. You were boasting about A, B, C, and D. Now you're going to boast about E and F. And you see, as he's going on, the Lord is giving him more things and he's sharing more things. Okay. Some of you say, well, yeah, well, the Lord, gave me this to say, but now he has shown me this. And this is what Paul is saying. Okay, I'm going to move on now. I've been sharing with you the word. I've been sharing with you what the Lord has shown me, in his word to teach. But now I'm going to start showing you some of the things that he's envisioned me with, some of the things that he's revealed to me. I'm going to start doing that now. I'm gonna start doing that, which gives me more to boast in the Lord. It's not from me, but the Lord is showing me these things. And I want to share them with you and tell you about them and show you, that the Lord is still doing these wondrous things through his servants. Praise the Lord. And everybody's praising the Lord. Good. That's a good thing. Okay. So that's what Paul was saying. So I'm going to continue to boast now in the greater things that the more things, the other things that the Lord is doing in my life and showing me. Then he goes and says, now as for me, I'm not going to boast about myself. In the community, no, I'm not talking about me. Yes, I know I've had some miraculous journeys. I can tell you about being almost killed, about being imprisoned, about almost going to the briny deep. And I can share all these things, but I'm not going to boast about how the Lord has delivered me from all those things. I'm not going to boast about that. But what I will boast about is that I could not do this on my own. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. Okay. The Lord has allowed me to do great things. The Lord has brought me through miraculous things. The Lord has brought me through dangerous situations. The Lord has kept me from people who were trying to do harm to me. The Lord has delivered me from those who have imprisoned me. And let's go on and on and on. Not because of my cunning, my strengths. No, the Lord has done this. I could not do it. Too weak. The Lord's brought me through all these different things. Most of those things he brought me through, I wouldn't have had to go through them at all because I wouldn't go. I'm too weak-minded. I don't want to go. It's too dangerous. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. You want me to minister over there? Don't you know that such a gang hangs out over there? Don't you know the type of people that hang out over there? I don't want to go over there. No, I don't want to, but the Lord gave me the boldness, gave me the strength, gave me the ability to do that which he wanted me to do. So yes, if I'm not going to boast about me, except that the Lord delivered me, brought me. He did this through me, not me on my own. So yes, the thing that you see me do, the thing that you see me say, if you hear me speak with any type of boldness at all, it's because the Lord allows me to do that. He's the one that gives me that type of Holy Ghost boldness to be able to stand flat-footed and say what thus says the word. I don't care what folks think about it. Don't care what they whether they like it or dislike it. The Lord said to say it, I'm going to say it. That's not because I'm so strong. Actually, it's because I'm so weak. It's because I'm so weak and I just depend on the Lord to just allow me to say and do what he allows me to say and do. So this is what Paul is saying, okay? So yeah, if I got to boast about myself, it's only to let you know that I'm nothing. I'm nothing. It's all about Jesus. And you're saying to yourself, that's good. That's where it should be. But you're still boasting. Still boasting. Also, he says this here. Now watch this. Now watch this here. He says, even if I should choose to boast, if I'm going to choose to boast, I'm going to choose to stand up and brag. I'm going to do this. Okay. I wouldn't be foolish to do that. I'm not stupid. I'm not a fool. Because I would simply be speaking the truth. I'm just speaking the truth. Oh, Paul, you just came from preaching to those folks over there, those ungodly people. Those people have been known to be cannibalistic. Those people have been known to kill different people, and you went over there and preach. Wow, you must be something. He said, hey, the Lord kept me. The Lord delivered me. Again, you're giving God the praise. You're giving him the glory. You're boasting in the Lord. That's what you said. Yes, if I have to boast, okay, I will just speak the truth. Wow, Paul. It was a terrible storm out on the seas. We heard about it. You're trying to tell me you were actually out there in that? And yet you standing before us. And he would say, yes, God delivered me. God kept me. He kept us afloat. He brought us to dry land. Yes, God did it. And I'm boasting in the Lord. I'm just speaking the truth, he said. Okay. And I could go on and on and on, telling y'all about the things that God has brought me through, that God has saved me from. I can go on and on and on, but I'm not going to. I don't want y'all to start thinking more of me, okay? I don't want you to start thinking more of me than you should. I don't want you to start associating these great things that God is doing through me, with me, to me, for me, like it's my own doing. I don't want you to start thinking that. It's not. It's not. And so I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to stop boasting like that. Beloveds, this is going to bring me to our final textual verse in this text, in this passage of scripture. What does he say to us? Okay, all the way in the seventh verse. Oh, because of these surpassingly great revelations. Okay, when Paul started telling us these wonderful things in the word, in the scriptures, okay, revealing these different things to us. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I want you to read, I want you to hear this. Now, with anything else that I'm saying, if you miss this, you're going to miss the great big point. So don't miss this. He says, in order to keep me from becoming, to keep me from becoming conceited, to keep me from becoming conceited. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. You from becoming so self-absorbed to keep you from becoming arrogant, to keep you from becoming self-centered. Paul, you're a great man and you were sold out for Christ. Surely you're above those type of things. Paul's warning us. We should take this as a warning. Paul was solid. Solid in his relationship with the Lord. Solid in his ministry and what the Lord had him to do. He was solid in that. He didn't waver to the left or to the right. If the Lord told him to go to a certain place, he went. The Lord gave him certain things to say, he said them. The Lord gave him certain things to do, he did them. Wasn't worried about the consequences. Long as he knew that it was the Lord that told him to do it, he did it. Okay? Now I want you to understand. I want you to understand this, my sisters and my brothers, that Paul was doing mighty things for the cause of Christ. Okay? And some people now were giving Paul a lot of praise. There were some people that were talking about his exploits. Okay? And if it was in modern days, in our times, he would have been making headlines. He would have been staying on the news, okay? You would see him and hear about him all the time. Okay. This was Paul's life. And Paul is letting us know, letting us understand that even though you sold out for the cause of Christ, many of us have said, "For God I live, for God I die," and mean it. You meant it when you said it, and you mean it now. Some of you have been put in position where you had to put that to the test. And you found out that yes, I passed the test. You might be saying I was in a position where I could have lost my life, but I was willing to. Knowing that, hey, I may lose my life here. That simply meant that my eternal life would simply be beginning. I'll be from earth to glory, and that's not a bad prospect at all. Because it's going to happen, whether it happens today, the next week, the next decade, the next millennium, whenever that is going to happen, it's going to happen. We're not going to stay here. So Paul is letting us understand, okay, that even though you're solid in the Lord and you're growing day by day in His grace and in the knowledge of Him, you're just completely sold out. Don't think that you too cannot be tempted, that you too cannot become self-absorbed, that you too cannot become conceited. It may be hard, difficult not to with so many people. And it don't have to be thousands, hundreds, millions of people. It could just be those around you, those handful of people maybe that you hold in high esteem. They begin to vaunt you up. They are saying so many good things about you. That could be your glitz and your glamour. Does that be from the multitude, just from a few people that are very influential in your life? Everybody else is gravy, as they say. But it doesn't take a whole lot to make you start feeling, okay, I'm all that. I have become conceited. You don't even realize it. It's not a death sentence per se, but it can take you out of position where you're not serviceable to the Lord, where you're not humble enough where he can use you in a place that he really wants to use you in, but he can't use you there because you're not humble enough. Some people have gone even to the extreme where they have become so, as they say, heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I can't use you. I want you to go there and minister to certain people in a terrible neighborhood because you've got a word for them. You've got a word for them, but you've allowed yourself to get to the point that I can't go in that area. It's too dirty. It's too dangerous. They don't really appreciate me. I can't go to that church and preach. There's only a few people there. It's real small. I won't get the notoriety that I believe I deserve. I'm too charismatic for that place, and nobody will know it. I can't get my shout in there. Nobody will hear me shout. It's only, and it goes on and on and on. We don't even realize that we become conceited. A lot of us don't even realize it. Certain things have to be done a certain way. Why? For whose pleasure? God said, ain't for my pleasure. I told you to go over there and preach. Preach. I didn't tell you the seats had to be all cushioned and have to be this way, that way. Preach. I sent you there. A lot of us, we have to have things a certain way. Why? Jesus said, I'm your perfect example. What kind of special ways that I have to have a special cup to drink out of? Did I have to have a certain amount of money guaranteed me to go and preach at a certain place? And then this could go on and on and on. A lot of us don't even realize, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that I was conceited in this particular area. Doesn't mean you're completely conceited. Maybe you are. But now that you know about it, as the saying goes, now that I know better, I can do better. So, that's it. I'm almost done, y'all. Okay? Now, Paul says, listen, to keep me from becoming conceited, there was a thorn in my flesh. Now, beloved, I'm going to say this here. And again, I always say this. Y'all know how to contact me because you're not going to like everything that I say. You probably don't like half what I said now, and it's all right. It's okay. Just I'm just like the mailman. That mailman, that same mailman that would used to bring us our checks and brings us different gifts and all in the mail, the same one that brings us bills. No need getting rid of him. He has to do his job. Okay. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Now I want you to understand this when Paul talked about this thorn in his flesh. Okay, let me read that for you again. And I'm gonna move on because I'm about finished. Because of these surprisingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, this is what Paul says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, beloved, neither Paul nor anywhere else in the Bible does it state what this thorn in my flesh that bothered Paul. Does it state what it is? There's been a number of speculations about it, and there's some who have picked different passages of scripture and think they got it down. But it's like I've just stated, there's nowhere in the scripture where it says exactly what it is. But listen, what we do know. Let us not worry about what we don't know. Let's look at what we do know. One, we understand the purpose of it. Was to keep him from becoming conceited, keep him in a position where the Lord could use him, keep him in that humble attitude, keep him, okay, serviceable So the Lord wants you to go over this place and minister, you can. If he wants you to go over that place and minister, you can. Keep yourself in position where the Lord can use you. We know that this is the purpose of this, to keep him, where the Lord can continue to use him. We look back at it, Paul's exploits, the places he's gone, the things he's done, the things he has said, and all that. He said, yes, he wants to continue to be able to do those things. Some of us are wrestling right now. Folks are saying so many wonderful things about you. They talk about how your voice, oh man, you just ought to hear him preach. Oh, it's just like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. And oh, he speaks so well, so eloquently, and yada, yada, yada. Have you ever, you pay attention to how he dresses and all these different things. And when you start hearing all of these accolades, all of these praises about you, it is very, very, very easy to cross into that conceited area. You're trying to do everything you can to stay humble, but it's very difficult when everybody you turn around, those people that mean anything to you, and even those who are strangers, are singing your praises. It's hard not to cross over into that conceited area. Paul has said, he didn't say this, but we are to look at this, take these as a warning. Okay, one, like we said, the purpose of this storm was to keep Paul from being full of himself, to keep him from being self-centered. Okay, number two, about this thorn in the flesh, people try to speculate what it is, what it is. This is what we do know. Okay, we know that it either affected him physically. Some people say, okay, maybe he had some kind of ailment, something that you could see is whatever it might have been. A gimpy foot or a gimpy knee or whatever it might have been. Something physical. That's what many people have said. Okay. But I'm saying that it could have affected maybe physical or his physical nature. Now, let me get you to understand what I mean when I say that. There are things that affect us, that happen to us mentally, but they have physical effects on us, and vice versa. For example, you have a bad knee. Now, the bad knee says, okay, man, I can't walk over to sit in such and such a place and minister because I can't get there. Okay, so now you have the reverse thing. It's not something that affects you mentally, but affects you physically first. But now that physical part is going to affect you a little bit mentally. I know it, I can relate to that. I remember a time when I could not even stand up for 5 minutes. My knees and all were that bad, hurting me that I couldn't. I was gripping on even to the pulpit just to stand. Okay, so that affects. Okay, what I'm going to say, how long I want to say it, the way that I'm going to say it, all it had an effect physically on me. I mean, the physical effect had even a mental effect on what I was going to say, which what I was going to say might have been ministering the word of God, so therefore it's even going to have a spiritual effect to it. You see how these things intertwine. So yes, his thorn in the flesh. When he said there was a thorn in the flesh, yes, maybe it was directly something physical that he could put his hand on. Or maybe again it was affecting his fleshly nature. His fleshly nature. I don't know. It doesn't say. But just think about that. Think about that. Again, it could have been a physical temptation. Okay, maybe Paul had a type of as they say, his nature, he loved women, maybe. I don't know. We look at the rest of the scripture, and some people say, no, it wasn't like that, but I'm just using this for an example. Whatever this temptation could have been, something that affected him and affected physically, for him to see that often, what could be torturous to him. But the thing is, the scripture says, okay, it was a messenger of Satan. If you have somebody, okay, if you have somebody that is a thief, and every time they turn around, they're in position where, oh man, this person took me into their temple. They took me to the temple. I'm looking over there where they have an offering plate or box or what have you, and I know there's money in there. And I'm fighting against this fleshly nature of stealing to begin with. That's torturous to that person. And right there, all I got to do is lift that lid up and go in there, and I could take that money. Yet I'm fighting against that. And there's many things that people are dealing with that are torturous to them if they can't do it. A person that's a glutton that loves to eat, and you walk downtown, you going past these big old windows, and you're looking at people dining off all these different types of, foods. And you're on this side of the glass, and you could almost look like you could just reach there, but you can't get to that food. You see, that could be torturous. I'm just giving you extremes. Okay, but the word here does say, not speculating on what we, or anything. The word says, okay, that he was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment him, to torment him. What we do know, beloved, I'm saying this, and I'm almost finished, is that nowhere do we read that Paul stopped his ministering because of this. He continued to minister. Now, he went to the Lord a few times about this thing, and the only thing the Lord said to him, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. That's what he told him. No matter what you're going through, one, it could be worse. Two, I'm gracious enough to grant you the strength to get through it. Three, whatever it is you're going through is keeping you in position where I could still use you. A lot of us need to look at these things that are happening in our lives. We go to the Lord time and time again for it. Oh, thank you, Lord. We go to the Lord time and time again about these things. And we're looking to the Lord to deliver us from them. And it seems like he's taking his sweet time to do it. Meanwhile, does that mean you go somewhere and hang your harps on the willow trees and don't play no more until the Lord delivers you? No. You continue to do that, which the Lord has assigned your hand to do. You continue to minister in the way that the Lord told you to minister. He'll deliver you in his own time, or he won't. But no matter what he does, he will enable you to do that which he told you to do. His grace is sufficient. I look in the word, and I see where the Lord has delivered his folks. I see his grace moving. I see when he said, listen, I want y'all to go. Don't worry about this Red Sea that's in front of you. No, I'm not going to turn it dry. I'm not going to make it dry. No, I'm not going to enable each and every one of you, give you the special gift to be able to walk on it. I'll let you go through it. Yes, I know that some of you have your mountains before you. And some of you are saying, Lord, I'm too weak now. I've gotten to the point in my life where I can't go over this mountain. The Lord said, that's all right. I'll give you the strength to climb it. I'm not going to make a part through this mountain for you. I'm not even going to tell you have to make it move. You can, but what I will do is give you the strength to climb it. And so many times we look in the Word, but we're asking the Lord for this, asking for that, and then he gives us ways to get through that, ways to go through it. Because that's the way he says that we needed his help. Beloved, Beloved, we can boast in the Lord, and we are allowed to do so. But the Lord looks on the heart. See, Paul is showing us that even for him, as great and mighty things that he was doing, the Lord could look into his heart and see that, hey, Paul, you got a little bit of arrogance in you. You got a little bit of pride in you there. You got a little bit of that. But I'm going to keep you in position where I can continue to use you. You didn't realize it. But I realized that after a while, you start listening to what folks are saying. You start reading, as they say, your own press. You start not just reading it, you start looking to find storylines about you, pictures about you, headlines about you. You start listening for the hidden folks saying the wonderful things about you. And you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. But the Lord is saying, I want to be able to use you. I don't want you to become conceited. Don't wait, beloved. Don't wait for the Lord to put something on you or to allow the devil to torment you with something just so he can keep you in position where he can use you. You stay there. The word says to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. You humble yourself. Keep yourself under subjection where the Lord can use you, where you want to be tempted by these things. He's told us even to flee youthful lust. Get rid of, get away from these things. I want to be able to use you. Yes, the Lord appreciates us giving him his glory, giving him his honor, boasting on him. But be very careful that you don't get so caught up in the Lord that you start saying things you shouldn't be saying, going places you should be going, doing things you should not be doing, and saying it in the name of Jesus. I didn't tell you to go there. I didn't tell you to say this. Don't do it, beloved. Yes, boasting can be cool, but don't cross that line where you become arrogant, where you become self-centered. Don't do it. Some of you are saying, wow, even boasting on the Lord can get out of hand. Yes, it can. If your heart's not right, if your attitude is not right, it can be. But Paul says, hey, I'm so glad the Lord keep me in position where he can use me, where I can service him. Praise God for it. I'm saying this to you, beloved, that right now some of you are going through some of the same thing that Paul was going through. You're working, you're doing your what you believe in your heart, you're doing what you can for the cause of Christ. But you have to examine yourself and ask, what are you looking for out of it? You might say, oh, I was supposed to be appreciative. Why? Don't you realize there's a lot of things people that we do for people, and that some of them don't even say thank you. Did that mean I'm stop doing it? No. Now, you weren't the reason why I did it. So I'm not going to stop because you did not give me any praise, any glory, even any thanks for it. To have this type of attitude, we have it available to us. But those of us that do this, because we know the Lord is indwelling in us. And for him to indwell in us means that we have been born again. If some of you are doing wonderful things and you want to do wonderful things to help folks, the first thing you need to do is help yourself by being born again, by accepting the Lord as your personal Savior, that he can use you and will use you. We pray that somebody is doing that today. Lord, I want to be able to boast in you. I want to be able to tell folks, look at what God has done. Look at what the Lord is doing. in my life, what he has done for me. Some of you say, I can remember when. Some of us are saying that today. Well, beloved, what I'm going to say to you is this. To be able to boast in the Lord means you have to be part of him, mean that he is doing something in your life, has done something in your life. If he's done nothing else but save your soul, he's done enough. And for those of you, again, we appeal to those who feel as though that you have left the Lord, that you're no longer where he wants you to be at, that you've forsaken him. I'm here to let you know that he is not forsaking you, that he's still standing right there with arms outstretched, saying, come on, come on back home. I've been waiting for you. Come on back home. It's boasting. It's boasting. Okay, or what? For those of us who like to boast in the Lord, yes. And we just pray that the Lord continue to keep us serviceable. So that, yes, we may boast in the Lord, but we're not when we get so conceited that we're not. It's boasting. Cool, Lord. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. We pray that you'll be able to boast in the Lord because the Lord has saved your soul and you just want to tell the world how good he is, how good he is to you now, how good he has been to you, and how good he's going to be to you, that because you believe it in your heart. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you.